Welcome back to another edition of This Week in College Football, brought to you by Beacock Daily. Today, Thursday, April 23rd. This is the sixth episode in the series. We're kicking things off after a little hiatus. We had to really grind some schoolwork out. We've been doing stuff every day with school, so we didn't have much time to really get on a podcast grind. But we're eager to be back. Hopefully semester's dying down. We'll be able to get more stuff accomplished with the podcast. So we're just going to do something light today. We're just going to do questions. We're going to put a little hold on the conference review because, like I said, we don't have much time to do much research into those type of questions. So we're just going to do our fan submitted questions today. So we're going to start with a group of questions that all come from the same user, one of the followers at Vector580John. He submitted, it looks like, five questions. John, I'll let you start off with the first question. It's, who is your sleeper program of 2019?
Okay, see, now, originally in my head, I had FAU. Because I was thinking, all right, Lane Kiffin, they're in the Conference USA, easy conference. But I'm going to go with a team that's drawn some controversy lately. I'm going to go with UCF. All right, I think that they're on the come up lately. Their coaching is phenomenal, and they don't really lose games that they're – like, they win all the games they're supposed to win.
I mean, yeah, they've only lost one game in the last 2 years, so it's not like when you said they really don't lose. I mean, like, they really don't lose.
No, you're right. And also, they have a Brandon Winbush coming in, an experienced guy. And I think that he'll bridge the gaps for Milton this year since he's hurt.
Yeah, that's exciting to watch him come in. Because I was worried when Milton got hurt. I was like, man, like, this stinks. Like,
What? No, tough look for them when he got hurt.
Oh, yeah, it definitely wasn't a great look for them. Like, I really was worried about them. Like, even playing, like, a close game against LSU.
I think, don't even get me started. I think they would have beaten LSU with him, just saying.
All right, so I'll give my team. You went, like, the mid-major route for the sleeper program. For me, I'm sticking to national level. And this is a team that played well last year. In some of the games where they probably shouldn't have. And it was Texas A&M. I think next year is going to be a very good team. I mean, I think they won eight or nine games. They played well last year. They played LSU tight at home. I think another year under Jimbo, you got Mon coming back again. Like, I think then they got the pieces to put together in the SEC. I think they have the grind inside of them. I think they'll be able to stick out a few wins where, like, games they lost last year, where I think this year they'll be able to push them through and get some wins,
No, yeah, definitely. I also think that, they have Jashaun Corbin. I think he's going to do pretty good. And also, did you see what Jimbo said about A&M today?
Enlighten me.
He said, this place is phenomenal, and I plan on being here for a long time.
I mean, I wouldn't want to leave anywhere that was paying me that kind of money.
No, good point. All right, so the next question we have is our top five Heisman hopefuls.
All right, so go first? Yeah, I'll start this one off. I'm going to go in order from, like, most obvious to least obvious. Obviously, one and two are, like, fairly tied. Trevor Lawrence and Tua.
Okay.
They're always going to be on, like, everyone's radar. So now I'm kind of dropping off a little bit and expected. I'll go a little Rondell Moore.
Okay, I like that one.
Like, I just see Rondell Moore having, like, a stellar year. And, like, we haven't seen, like, a receiver as a freshman that dominant in a while. So I'm excited to see what he does sophomore year.
Okay.
Let's keep it in the Big Ten. Jonathan Taylor.
Okay.
And then,
this is very similar so far.
Oh, gosh. And then let's move up to the Big 12. I think Jalen Hurts has a really good year in Oklahoma's offense.
Sheesh. All right. So starting off my list, we have Tua.
Heard that before.
Number two, we have Trevor Lawrence. Number three, I have Jalen Hurts. Number four, I have Justin Herbert. And then number five, I have Jonathan Taylor.
Dude, you just copied my homework and made it a little bit different.
I know. I just changed to one player, but that's really what I had.
Oh, man. I feel like we tend to do that often. It's probably because we talk about these things when we're together.
Yeah, which is like I could have probably guessed your list, and you probably could have guessed that I would have had Herbert in there somewhere.
Yeah, honestly, it could be a question, and you would try to put an Oregon guy in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
Let's jump into the third question. Most likely to leave or lose a head coaching job this year?
Oh, boy.
You can start it because I know you've been eager to answer this one.
Chris Ash.
Really? I mean, I don't know why I'm asking.
Lose a head coaching job? What does he have to do to keep his job is the question. Like, what? How many wins do you justify not firing him after the season?
Yeah, but the whole transition to the Big Ten, I think, is giving him some leeway.
We lost by 91 points to Kansas, Buffalo, and Illinois. Kansas, team we should have blown out.
That's not
Buffalo,
great.
They're a good team, but still should have beat them. And Illinois is, I guess, it's a toss-up.
My problem with, like, those two games, especially the Kansas and Buffalo game, was, like, you're a Big Ten team. Like, especially Buffalo. Buffalo's at your place. You should beat them by three touchdowns.
The Buffalo one, I give them kind of a mulligan. Because Buffalo had an NFL quarterback. So, like, that's kind of like...
In Kansas, they just look terrible.
Well, Puka Williams just did Puka Williams things, and...
Yeah, it didn't go to...
He beat the Rutgers defense like it was his girlfriend.
Ooh, tough luck.
Yeah. Rutgers... Yeah, I don't know. I think Chris Ash loses his job. I think Clay Helton at USC loses his job.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like, fans are calling for his head at the end of the season. Are we actually... ask this question to our followers. A popular one, Gus Malzahn.
Dude, you literally, you did it again.
What?
Oh, because my two coaches were Helton and Gus.
Oh.
But.
All right, well, give your reasoning. Let me hear why.
Yeah, well, no, I think Auburn fans are getting tired of 9-win seasons, which, I mean, as a Rutgers fan, I would pray to have a 5-win season. You don't even know what I would do. Dude,
if we can get 5 wins a season, we've been in Illinois territory where we're not, like...
But, you know, Clay Helton, like, you're USC. Like, you need to be, like, the top of the pack, 12, like, every year. You need to be top 10 recruiting. They're just not doing what USC football historically does, and I think he's going to get all the blame. Like I said, Gus, the fans are calling for him. But this is a little spin I want to throw onto this because, I mean, it doesn't say anything in the question, but I'm adding my own part.
All right.
I think whichever one of those coaches leaves first, and I've said this before, and I will try myself, Urban Meyer goes to that school.
You're one of those people.
I'm one of those people.
All right.
We've
not
seen the last.
All right. Do we think any coaches leave for the NFL?
On their own choices or like get fired and then go to the
NFL? No, like they get like promoted, like they leave on their own. I can think of one.
Whom?
Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern. That's about it though.
I have one in my head. I can't figure out his name. Just give me 2 seconds. I'll figure it out.
Right.
Oh, Matt Campbell.
Oh, yeah, the Iowa State guy.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Yeah, I don't see the hype with him. But...
Yeah, but the NFL loves him. The NFL was after him this year.
The NFL loves mediocre college coaches. They really do.
I mean, Nick Saban went to the NFL.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, look at Cliff Kingsbury. He gets fired for doing bad at an okay college. And the NFL was like, this would be a great hire.
Lane Kiffin.
And then they wonder why. No one watches.
Lane Kiffin destroyed 2 programs, and the Raiders were like, hey, come on in.
Yeah, they were like, oh, this guy's a drunk.
You up?
Fits the Raider culture.
They hit him with the you up.
All right, we answer this question every week.
This is like a frequent question. Like,
is Texas back? Which, if you want to check out our website, our friend Adrian Menares Jr. wrote an article on this today.
Do I feel like I've answered this question more than anything?
Yeah, me too.
Yes and no. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to say that it's going to change weekly. Let's just hope they don't lose to Maryland this season, and the answer will be yes. All right. So who will have the biggest freshman impact in each conference? Okay. Easy one for me.
Okay.
Am I going first?
Yeah, so you go first. Run it up.
All right. So most people think I would say Nolan Smith at Georgia, but I don't think he makes as big of an impact as Antonio Alfano at Alabama.
Oh, dude, you're kidding.
Why is that? Is that who you had?
Yeah. We might as well just do the podcast to one man.
I mean, I just think that Alabama loses some D-line depth. You know, he is a five-star. The kid's a beast. I mean, I've seen him play in person. You know, talked to his dad a few times. He's an animal.
Yeah, no, he is like he's a different breed. So I'm gonna sit on the same hill with Alfano. I'm gonna take the same answer. I think he's just a beast. He's one of those guys where he's gonna show up on campus and they're just gonna notice him right away.
All right, Big 12.
All right, so I'll start.
Okay.
We're making our way to Sooner Land.
Okay, cool. We have a different answer.
All right, boy, nice. You know, Oklahoma runs a high explosive offense, and in order to have a high explosive offense, one of the things you need is high explosive receivers. And I think Jaden Hazelwood or Theo Weiss, either one of those two receivers. I mean, they're both. I mean, Hazelwood's a top five player in the country, so obviously he's going to have a huge impact. He's out of Georgia, and Theo Weiss is the 21st national recruit. He's a top three in his position. So I think either one of those guys at the position they play could have a tremendous effect on that kind of offense. They're going to have opportunities, obviously, at Oklahoma.
Uh-huh. And here's why you're wrong. Because Texas runs a also high-powered offense. They have Colin Johnson, Lil Jordan Humphrey, but now they're going to have Brew McCoy, who actually went to USC, and then after about like 23 days, realized Coy Helton stinks at coaching, and he left. He demanded his release. And I think he's going to have a huge impact at Texas.
Yeah, but what if Texas isn't back?
Well, it doesn't matter because they have Brew McCoy, and he'll bring them back.
No, they're not back. There you go.
I feel like Oklahoma has too many issues. They don't have a defense.
Yeah, but the Big 12 doesn't have defense.
That's but that doesn't matter when you get to, like, when you have to run to an Alabama or a Clemson and you don't score 40 points a game.
That bridge when they get to it.
Yeah, you can't do that. You saw it last season.
I mean, Oklahoma played them well.
They lost. Who cares about playing them well? They could not handle the grind of an SEC schedule.
Yeah, that's why they play in the Big 12. Your defense should be fully rested.
All right. Pac-12 definitely have the same answer.
Yeah, we're going to have the same answer.
Is it initials are KT?
Indeed, they would be.
Yeah, it's Kayvon Thibodeau. Easy one. You know, in my head, the number one overall player in the country. Looked great in Oregon's spring game. Is a man, has a little conditioning issues. You know, looked a little winded at times. But I think, you know, he's going to be a stud. He's going to be an instant starter probably.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You don't redshirt those kind of guys. But, yeah, I agree with you.
Fun fact, do you know Juwan Johnson, the receiver from Penn State?
Okay, yeah.
Oregon?
Yeah.
He had a crazy grab in the spring game.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch any of the spring game.
Yeah, I didn't expect you to. All right. Well, you're not an Oregon fan, so I don't know why you would watch Oregon spring football game.
What do we got? We want to go ACC or you want to go Big Ten?
We can go Big Ten.
All right, let's run it.
You can go first, buddy.
I'm going to make my way up to the great state of Michigan.
Oh, my God. This is definitely the same one.
No, I don't know if it will be. Last year, Michigan kind of struggled defensively in the corners with the secondary. Is it the same one?
Would his name rhyme with Jack Still?
No, I don't believe it does.
Oh, okay. We'll continue. I don't know who you're talking about.
I was in that cornerback, Jalen Perry, coming in. Definitely could be an upgrade in corner, like jumping in, playing effectively. I think one of the things, especially in the Ohio State game, we saw Michigan's defense just get eaten by short passes, like right in front of them, slants. They'd never seen them before. It was like a whole different style of football.
Who?
What?
Who?
Jalen Perry.
Who?
Does this guy exist, dude?
Yeah, dude.
Where?
Dude, just go on 24/7 Sports.
I am. That's why I'm asking if he exists.
Yeah, dude. 91 four-star, 91 8-star.
Oh, he's a four-star. Okay. All right, let's restart this.
Tell me when to go.
Go.
All right, so for the Big Ten, I'm making my way up to Michigan.
Okay.
Last year we saw Ohio State game especially that Michigan does not know how to play defense against slants. It was almost like the first time anyone had thrown a pass in football history. They were so confused, they didn't know what to do. So freshman Jalen Perry is a four-star. I'm interested if he comes in and the spring and the summer shows his, you know, ability. If he jumps right into the corner, if he can be a lockdown corner for them, something that, that defense more of a boost.
All right. I have two. Actually, I couldn't decide.
That's cheating.
No, it's not. I meet the rules.
You have two chances to be right. It's not fair.
I am the source. all right, so I was going to go Michigan, Dax Hill. That's originally where I thought you were going. He's a five-star safety from Oklahoma. They flipped him from Alabama, probably because they were paying him, but...
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. You saw that thing this morning?
Yeah.
Or Garrett Wilson, a five-star receiver at Ohio State, who's projected to start in the slot.
Oh, so we can see another slant routes. And see how he reacts.
Yes, he's basically going to kill Michigan.
Yeah, they're just going to be so confused.
All right, so next up is what conference?
We are in the Atlantic Coast.
Okay. You want to go first?
Yeah, I'll jump it off. We're going to the defending national championship team. We're going out of Clemson.
Cool.
And Clemson losing a lot of star power up front. But... You know, just as every great program does, they cycle him in and out, and they got Tyler Davis coming in, four-star from Florida. I mean, the kid just looks like a beast. I think he's going to show up and just, you know, blow everyone away. I think he's going to be one of those guys in 3 years we're talking about draft boards with him.
All right. I also have a Clemson commit, but I was torn between two, but I'm going to pick one real quick. I'm going to go with Joe Nada, four-star wide receiver. To have Justin Ross on one side, nice tall receiver, I think Nada will be a nice compliment on the outside to Ross. And with Trevor Lawrence throwing you the ball, it's kind of hard not to be a good receiver.
Yeah, I think I could be a good receiver with Trevor Lawrence.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think there might be other factors.
All right, so that wraps those up. Which SEC coach gets fired this season?
We both kind of answered that.
Yeah, it's Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I think it's like a pretty like out in the open. Like everyone knows Gus. Sorry, buddy.
The only thing is, do you see how much they have to pay to fire him?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know the number?
It's like 30 something million, maybe 27.
$31 million.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, that is crazy, and it's a buyout too. So they have to pay all of it.
That's not great.
Will Virginia Tech finish as a top 15 team?
No.
No?
No, I don't think they'll be a top 15 team. I just didn't see it from them last year.
I also don't think so because they had a lot of people transfer out. I'm looking at their schedule. Week one, lost to Boston College. They're going to beat Old Dominion, beat Furman, beat Duke, lose to Miami.
Last year.
They're going to lose to Miami, beat Virginia Tech, beat UNC, lose to Notre Dame. What?
They're going to beat themselves?
What are you talking about?
You just said beat Virginia Tech. I'm assuming you meant Georgia Tech.
Yes. They're going to beat Wake Forest, beat Pitt, and they're going to beat Virginia at the end of the season. So with that, they won't be ranked.
I just don't. I watched them last year, and I just did not think they were a good football team. I mean, they should have won that Virginia game easily, and they were like, "Oh, let's play a close game. Why not?"
All right, we got another one. Is Notre Dame back?
I hate Notre Dame, so no.
Yeah, I told the guy who asked, I said, "Be prepared for a rant." I don't think that Notre Dame is all that good. I think Ian Book is phenomenal, but I think because Notre Dame plays a cherry-picked schedule. They can't handle the grind of an SEC schedule. And when they get to the playoffs, it shows.
I mean, like, last year was really cherry-picked, but, like, their schedule last year.
They played their schedule without playing Clemson. Like, they play in that conference, but minus Clemson.
Well, yeah. But, like, if you look at, like, the teams they play, like, historically, like, Stanford's good. Florida State's good. Texas is good.
Okay. Were any of those teams good last year?
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, like.
And look, okay, so this year, they open with Louisville, win. New Mexico, win. Then they play Georgia, which I expect them to lose. Then they play a tough Virginia team coming off a loss to Georgia. Then they play Bowling Green, another win. Then they play USC, which is, I'm going to give them a win because I think the Trojans stink.
Green like crap last year, so
who knows? Yeah. They're going to lose to Michigan. Then they're going to beat Virginia Tech, beat Duke, beat Navy, beat BC, and beat Stanford. So I think that's three losses they end with. So from Isaac Goble, does UCF have national title aspirations?
Ah, this is another one. We're on two different sides of the spectrum with UCF.
No, because you're a dummy.
No, because I like watching good football.
Dude, what? You're so dumb.
You can have national title aspirations all you want. Rutgers has national title aspirations.
But I'm sorry, couldn't buy a national
title. The American. There's no chance that you make your way into the Final Four.
Why not?
Because who would you rather have? A one-loss SEC team?
Who cares? If you lose a game, you should not get in over an undefeated. That's my feeling as about it.
Then how?
This year?
Notre Dame.
Is a hard schedule.
The argument is different when it comes to Notre Dame with some people, though.
Okay, but UCF plays Florida A&M. Cupcake. Then they play FAU. Then they play Stanford.
No fart noise. I'll give it down.
They play at Stanford, too. Then they play Pitt. How, that's an out-of-conference Power 5 game.
Yeah, dude, and so would Rutgers. Like, Pitt's not a good team.
Okay, but still, it's a Power 5 team out of conference.
Dude, they played North Carolina. They were going to play North Carolina last year. Like, that wouldn't have been a good win.
Okay, then they play UConn. Okay, then they play Cincinnati, who had, I think, 10 wins last year.
Nah, he's good.
All right. ECU. Temple. Houston. Tulsa. Tulane.
Tulane.
Dude, don't fart at the Green Wing. And then they finish the season with the war on I-4 at South Florida.
All right, I'll give it, like, Charlie Strong. That's always a good game.
All right, so you think no, I think yes.
I think absolutely not.
Because you're an idiot. All right, what year will Kansas win the first Big 12 title? Oh, my God.
Hold on, wait. All right, restart it.
All right, so next question is, in what year will Les Miles win his first Big 12 title at Kansas?
How old is Les Miles?
Too old to win one at Kansas.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think Kansas ever wins a Big 12 title under him. Even though the recruiting has seen a massive uptick in the first season, I think that they're too far gone to where they'll be stuck in mediocrity for a while.
He's 65, so if he stayed there for 40 years, he might sneak one in.
How? You're in Oklahoma and Texas. Where are they going to fall off the face of the earth?
Yes. They're going to move to the Pac-12.
Okay, so we agree on that one.
The only way Kansas wins, of course,
the last question
is if everyone leaves and goes to other conferences.
Do you want to read the last question out loud?
Okay, yeah. All right, Coach Chris B. If Texas and Tom Herman
are poised to take back the Big 12 and make a possible college football playoff run, so basically, it's Texas back,
dude. Please stop sending us these questions.
All right. Well, since I like this guy, he's pretty cool in the DMs, I'll answer it. I think they are poised to take back the Big 12 from Oklahoma. I'm not buying the Jalen Hurts stock. I think Texas wins the Big 12.
So they're back.
Yeah, because I think Texas has a better defense.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. All right. So that concludes this episode. Coming up on the next episode, we're going to start a nice little segment we got. We're going to keep it a little secret until we debut it. Thanks,
guys. We should have a special guest from a big school that we talked to today.
Ooh, cue fun music. Maybe I'll find some fun music to put in there.
Oh, that'd be cool.
All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. See you guys next time.